I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. You know, it's almost impossible to imagine the huge risks that many migrants take to try and flee poverty and war. Many die trying. It happens along the U.S.-Mexico border, but also in the Mediterranean, as we were reminded this week. A boat carrying around 500 African migrants caught fire and sank near the Italian island of Lampedusa. More than 300 are either dead or still missing. The story is all too familiar for the BBC's Kasim Kaira. Years ago, he attempted to make the same journey as part of a documentary called Breaking into Britain. He wanted to answer the question, why do Africans risk their lives to enter Europe? So, Kasim, these Lampedusa episodes happen with sad frequency, but this was larger than most, the one this week. What did you think when you heard about this tragedy?
Well, it's one tragedy that you're almost always waiting to hear. I mean, there are thousands of people that take the risk to embark on these journeys. But it's the kind of desperation, but also the determination that these people have. It was just an accident that was waiting to happen. And I wasn't surprised, but I was shocked and I was hurt as well, because these are lives. These are more than 300 people possibly who will have perished in this particular accident.
So tell us about your own trip. I mean, where did you start? How many days did it take you? And where'd you end up?
My own trip was actually, as you said, there was an effort to try to see how easy it is to come to Britain. I began my journey in Nigeria, and with such journeys, for you, actually, I wanted to go through the whole process as to how people do it. And it had to start with the basics. Finding a Nigerian passport, which wasn't difficult. I got an official passport. I got to buy it. All you do is, if you have the money, anything is possible. In fact, they've got a very funny saying in Nigeria. They just told me the only thing we can't give you is a heart. I mean, a beating heart, or a soul for that matter. Otherwise, everything in Nigeria you could find as long as you have money. But it was also about finding the right people who would have the right contacts and establish the journey line for me. And the pattern normally is you leave Lagos, you're transported to Kano in the north of Nigeria, then you cross into Niger to the capital Niamey, and then from where you are taken from Niamey to Agadez, which is the last big town before you embark into the Sahara Desert. From there, really, it's about luck. We're talking about 3,000 miles away from Lagos, and once you enter into the Sahara, that's survival for the fittest. In Agadez, I think it's very particular. I should actually make mention of it. Mm. In Agadez, you have ghettos, and these are sort of waiting places, holding places for migrants who are just waiting to make their journey to their next destination, either into Libya, Algeria, Morocco, with the hope of possibly ending up in Europe, most likely these days in Greece and Turkey. These are people between the ages of 16 to 35, people in their prime, very energetic, very youthful, but all of them sort of having a lot of dreams for the future, but disappointed back home. I met a number of graduates who had finished university. They had degrees in accounting. They were medical doctors. They were electrical engineers. But they had finished and they had not found the right job opportunities for 2-3 years without a job in a village. After the family has spent all the money on you to sort of educate you, there's a lot of pressure on the family to sort of, on the individual to try to find a way out of this kind of desperate situation. So it's kind of a difficult situation, but one that is sort of a temporary position while they're waiting for destination next.
I mean, this journey is madness. And as our guide, you haven't even gotten us to the Mediterranean crossing yet. So when you did this, you actually stopped at the coast because it was too treacherous. Tell us why that boat journey is so perilous.
The boat journey is so perilous because you don't know what is going to happen. I mean, there are weather conditions. Part of what the problem is now in Lampedusa, what has actually impeded a lot of the recovery efforts, is the weather. You are sitting on a boat that is quite often not seaworthy. It's a boat that is overloaded. This boat in particular was supposed to be carrying at most about 200 people. It was carrying 300 people. That is 300 people more than what was supposed to be on the boat. With these situations, you have patrols, EU patrols, NATO patrols on the Mediterranean at every moment, and you actually get surprised. Of course, it's big, and therefore monitoring it all would be so difficult, but you get surprised when you hear that these boats, small as they are, manage actually to make their way all the way to Lampedusa or even to Greece and into Turkey. But this is a very treacherous journey, one that you wouldn't embark on unless, of course, you are really willing to take the risk. But these are people who have left their homes. They've traveled thousands of miles. Quite often they've been trapped. They can't go back home. The only way is forward and not backward.
Will tragedies like what happened this week in Lampedusa actually inhibit the flow of migrants, or do you think they're just going to continue and that these tragedies are unavoidable?
Not in themselves. If anything, some people traditionally say in Africa, they'll say that is a sacrifice, because like in any war, you will need to have some few people who will have to sacrifice for others to survive. So some will see it as a sacrifice that has been done to the gods to appease them, and therefore it just means their next journey will be okay. For those who do not believe in that, I mean, it is like an investment. They say this is an investment. This is like a business. Whenever you go into a business, you expect either to make a profit or a loss. Having this accident is one of the losses, but there would be profits. Those who manage to survive, given the international attention that now is suddenly on Italy, I don't think they will be thrown back to a third country because of this whole international perspective. The attitude might now start to change. The Pope has got involved. All these things sort of add up, and with the sacrifice of the 300 or more, probably, the few, the 100 who have so far been sort of saved, could actually have a better life. And that will mean now the next group is just getting ready. As we are talking now, another boat might be setting off.
Yeah. The BBC's Kassim Kaira, who made the trip across the Sahara Desert with migrants as part of a documentary called Breaking into Britain. Kassim, thanks for telling us about this.
You're welcome.